Chapter 6. Mrs. B.S., as you find it. Lady K.S., as I find it, when I come to take care of my departed, angel's children, Mrs. Bonington, pointing to picture of that dear seraph's orphans, Mrs. Bonington. You cannot. You have other duties, other children, a husband at home in delicate health. Who, Mrs. B. Lady Kickleberry, no one shall say I don't take care of my dear husband. Millican. My dear mother. My dear Lady Kickleberry. The tea, who has come forward. They spar so every night they meet, touch it. Ain't it hard? Lady K, I say you do take care of Mr. Bonington, Mrs. Bonington, my dear creature. And that is why you can't attend to Horace. And as he is of a very easy temper, except sometimes with his poor Arabella's mother, he allows all his tradesmen to cheat him, all his servants to cheat him, Howell to be rude to everybody, to me amongst other people, and why not to my servant Bulkley, with whom Lord Todleby's groom of the chambers gave me the very highest character. Mrs. B. I'm surprised that noblemen have grooms in their chambers. I should think they were much better in the stables. I am sure I always think so, when we dine with Dr. Clinker. His man does bring such a smell of the stable with him. Lady K. He. You mistake, my dearest creature. Your poor mother mistakes, my good horse. You have lived in a quiet and most respectable sphere, but not, Mrs. B. Not what, Lady Kickleberry? We have lived at Richmond 20 years in my late husband's time, when we saw a great deal of company, and when this dear Horace was a dear boy at Westminster School. And we have paid for everything we have had for 20 years, and we have owed not a penny to any tradesman, though we mayn't have had powdered footmen 6 feet high, who were impertinent to all the maids in the place. Don't I will speak, Horace, but servants who loved us, and who lived in our families. Millican. Mama, now, my dear, good old mother. I am sure Lady Kickleberry meant no harm. Lady Kamey. My dear Horace. Harm. What harm could I mean? Millican. Come. Let us have a game at whist. Touch it, will you make a fourth? They go on, so every night almost. Ain't it a pity, now? Touch it. Miss Pryor generally plays, doesn't she? Millican. And a very good player too. But I thought you might like it. Touch it. Well, not exactly. I don't like sixpenny points, Horace, or quarreling with old dragons about the odd trick. I will go and smoke a cigar on the terrace and contemplate the silver Thames, the darkling woods, the starry hosts of heaven. I like smoking better than playing whist.
Millican rings bell.
Millican. Ah, George. You're not fit for domestic felicity. Touch it. No, not exactly. Howell enters. Millican. Lights and a whist table. Oh, I see you bring them. You know everything I want. He knows everything I want, Howell does. Let us cut. Miss Pryor, you and I are partners. Act 2. Scene. As before. Lady K, don't smoke, you naughty boy. I don't like it. Besides, it will encourage your brother-in-law to smoke. Clarence K, anything to oblige you, I'm sure. But can't do without it, mother. It's good for my health. When I was in the plungers, our doctor used to say, you ought never to smoke more than 8 cigars a day in order, you know, to do it, don't you see? Lady K, ah, my child. I am very glad you are not with those unfortunate people in the East. K. So am one. Sold out just in time. Much better fun being here than having the cholera at Scutari. Nice house, Millican's. Snob, but good fellow, good seller, deuced good cook. Really, that salmi yesterday, couldn't have it better done at the Agnew. You have got in 2 good quarters here, mother. Lady K. The meals are very good, and the house is very good. The manners are not of the first order. But what can you expect of city people? I always told your poor dear sister, when she married Mr. Millican, that she might look for everything substantial, but not manners.
Poor dear Arabella would marry him.
Caywood.
That is a good one, Mama.
Why, you made her.
It's a dozen years ago. But I recollect, when I came home from Eton, seeing her crying, because Charlie Tufton, Lady K. Mr. Tufton had not a shilling to bless himself with. The marriage was absurd and impossible.
K. He hadn't a shilling then.
I guess he has plenty now. Elder brother killed, out hunting.
Father dead.
Tough a baronet, with 4,000 a year, if he's a shilling.
Lady K.
Not so much.
K. 4,000, if it's a shilling.
Why, the property adjoins Kickleberry's, I ought to know. I've shot over it 1,000 times.
Heh.
I remember, when I was quite a young un, how Arabella used to go out into Tufton Park to meet Charlie, and he is a deuced good fellow, and a gentleman-like fellow, and a deuced deal better than this city fellow.
Lady K.
If you don't like this city fellow, Clarence, why do you come here? Why didn't you stop with your elder brother at Kickleberry?
K.
Why didn't I? Why didn't you stop at Kickleberry, Mama?
Because you had notice to quit.
Serious daughter-in-law, quarrels about management of the house row in the building.
My brother interferes, and politely requests Mama to shorten her visit.
So it is with your other two daughters. So it was with Arabella when she was alive.
What shindies you used to have with her, Lady Kickleberry.
Heh. I had a row with my brother and sister about a confounded little nursery maid.
Lady K. Clarence.
K. And so I had notice to quit too. And I'm in very good quarters here, and I intend to stay in them, Mama.
I say, Lady K., what do you say?
K. Since I sold out, you know, and the regiment went abroad, confound me, the brutes at the Ag will hardly speak to me.
I was so ill, I couldn't go.
Who the deuce can live the life I've led, and keep health enough for that infernal Crimea?
Besides, how could I help it?
I was so cursedly in debt that I was obliged to have the money, you know.
You hadn't got any.
Lady K.
Not a halfpenny, my darling.
I am dreadfully in debt myself.
K. I know you are.
So am one.
My brother wouldn't give me any, not a dump.
Hang him.
Said he had his children to look to.
Milliken wouldn't advance me any more, said I did him in that horse transaction.
He.
So I did.
What had I to do, but to sell out?
And the fellows cut me, by Jove.
Ain't it too bad?
I'll take my name off the Ag, I will, though.
Lady K.
We must sow our wild oats, and we must sober down, and we must live here, where the living is very good and very cheap.
Clarence, you naughty boy.
And we must get you a rich wife.
Did you see at church yesterday, that young woman in light green, with rather red hair and a pink bonnet?
K. I was asleep, ma'am, most of the time, or I was booking up the odds for the Chester Cup.
When I'm booking up, I think of nothing else, ma'am, nothing.
Lady K. That was Miss Broxop Briggs, Brown and Broxop, the great sugar bakers. They say she will have £80,000.
We will ask her to dinner here.
K. I say, why the deuce do you have such old women to dinner here?
Why don't you get some pretty girls?
Such a set of confounded old frumps as eat Milliken's mutton I never saw.
There's you, and his old mother Mrs. Bonington, and old Mrs. Fogram, and old Miss what's her name, the woman with the squint eye, and that immense Mrs. Crowder.
It's so stupid, that if it weren't for Touchett coming down sometimes, and the billiards and boating, I should die here expire, by gad.
Why don't you have some pretty women into the house, Lady Kickleberry?
Lady K.Y.
Do you think I want that picture taken down?
And another Mrs. Milliken?
Wisehead.
If Horace married again, would he be your banker, and keep this house, now that ungrateful son of mine has turned me out of his?
No pretty woman shall come into the house, whilst I am here.
K. Governess seems a pretty woman.
Weak eyes, bad figure, pokey, badly dressed, but deuced pretty woman.
Lady K. Bah.
There is no danger from her.
She is a most faithful creature, attached to me beyond everything. and her eyes are weak with crying for some young man who is in India. She has his miniature in her room, locked up in one of her drawers. K, then how the deuce did you come to see it? Lady K, we see a number of things, Clarence. Will you drive with me? K, not as I knows on, thank you. No, ma, driven's too slow. And you're going to call on two or three old dowagers in the park. Thank your ladyship for the delightful offer. Enter John. John, please, sir, here's the man with the bill for the boats, £2.3. K, damn it, pay it, don't bother me. John, haven't got the money, sir. Lady K. Howell, I saw Mr. Milliken give you a check for £25 before he went into town this morning. Look, sir, runs, opens drawer, takes out checkbook. There it is, marked, Howell, 25L. John, would your ladyship like to step down into my pantry and see what I've paid with the £25? Did my master leave any orders that your ladyship was to inspect my accounts? Lady K, step down into the pantry. Inspect your accounts? I never heard such impertinence. What do you mean, sir? K, dammy, sir, what do you mean? John, I thought as her ladyship kept a eye over my master's private book, she might like to look at mine too. Lady K, upon my word, this insolence is too much. John, I beg your ladyship's pardon. I am sure I have said nothing. K said, sir, your manner is mutinous, by Jove, sir, if I had you in the regiment. John, I understood that you had left the regiment, sir, just before it went on the campaign, sir. K, confound you, sir. Starts up. Lady K, Clarence, my child, my child. John, your ladyship needn't be alarmed. I'm a little man, my lady, but I don't think Mr. Clarence was a-going for to hit me, my lady, not before a lady, I'm sure. I suppose, sir, that you won't pay the boatman? K. No, sir, I won't pay him, nor any man who uses this sort of damned impertinence. John. I told relax, sir, I thought it was just possible you wouldn't. Exit. K, that's a nice man, that is an impudent villain. Lady K, ruined by Horace's weakness. He ruins everybody, poor good-natured Horace. K, why don't you get rid of the blackguard? Lady K, there is a time for all things, my dear. This man is very convenient to Horace. Mr. Milliken is exceedingly lazy, and Howell spares him a great deal of trouble. Some day or other I shall take all this domestic trouble off his hands. But not yet. Your poor brother-in-law is restive, like many weak men. He is subjected to other influences. His odious mother thwarts me a great deal. K.Y., you used to be the dearest friends in the world. I recollect when I was at Eton, Lady K. were. But friendship don't last forever. Mrs. Bonington and I have had serious differences since I came to live here. She has a natural jealousy, perhaps, at my superintending her son's affairs. When she ceases to visit at the house, as she very possibly will, things will go more easily, and Mr. Howell will go too, you may depend upon it. I am always sorry when my temper breaks out, as it will sometimes. K, won't it, that's all. Lady K. At his insolence, my temper is high, so is yours, my dear. Calm it for the present, especially as regards Howell. K, gad. Do you know I was very nearly pitching into him? But once, one night in the Haymarket, at a lobster shop, where I was with some fellows, we chaffed some other fellows, and there was one fella, quite a little fella, and I pitched into him, and he gave me the most confounded lickin' I ever had in my life, since my brother Kickleberry licked me when we were at Eton. And that, you see, was a lesson to me, ma'am. Never trust those little fellows, never chaff 'em. Dammy, they may be boxers. Lady K. You quarrelsome boy. I remember you coming home with your Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.